With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Kurt, Jody Mack here in New York. How you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Jody.
Good. How did All-Star Weekend play for you?
I thought it played really well, and not just because I was in Chicago, like, eating that pizza you guys ate in New York, but, like, because I thought, A, the dunk contest is kind of random, right? And while it had a controversial ending, at least it was good this year. And then on Sunday, the new format kind of worked, right? Guys played hard. Guys were taking charges and yelling at refs and kind of got engaged, and we got real basketball. So I thought the whole thing worked out better than expected this year.
I would tend to agree, specifically on the All-Star game itself and the way that it ended and the new rules that they implemented. Yeah. As good as it was, and you and I are both agreeing that it was good, it's not something that they would look to incorporate into regular basketball NBA play, would they?
No, they're a long way from considering that. I'd be curious to see them roll it out like in Summer League. Or something like that, and see what it looked like. There's ups and downs when you talk to coaches and league executives. There's the referees have questions about, like, hey, when does automatic replay kick in if you do it this way? Did you get to a certain point level? Coaches, hey, if 3 minutes are left in the 4 minutes are left in the game and it's a complete blowout, I'm going to empty out my bench. I'm going to get some of these guys a little extra run. Does that happen the same way? Like, there's just a lot of questions that nobody really has answers to, but Summer League would be kind of a fun way to see it. So I'd be up for something like that. But, man, do you really want to mess with tradition and the rule and the, record rules and all that stuff by rolling it into the regular season? I mean, would you want to do that?
I wouldn't. I think it's a great little side venture for the All-Star game and exhibition. Praise it, give it its credit, keep doing it. Don't try and bring it into the regular season, because I think that would be a mistake.
No, plus, I would like to be in the pitch meeting where you go to your television partners and say, so what we want to do is put in an ending we can't time, so we're not sure when the game's going to end. You good with that?
I didn't even think about that. That's a very good point. That's why we have Kurt Elan on to talk NBA with us on The Fan. The biggest news in the last 24 hours is that by the time the Cavs retake the court after the All-Star break, not that they're going anywhere, but they will finish out the season, and they will probably do so with another coach, because they're going to part ways with John Beilein 50-some-odd games in to his NBA coaching career. I've always been a Beilein fan. Thought he was a great college coach. But I did wonder if it was going to work in the NBA, and we found out pretty quickly from the impetuous owner of the Cavs that he was given all of 56, 57 games to prove that he was or wasn't. Cavs making a mistake here, or are they correcting an error and not worrying about how much they signed Beilein for during this offseason?
It's actually more mutual than that. Beilein's walking away from the money. I'm not sure what the exact buyout's going to be, but he's got, on the hook for $12 million, and he's not taken much, if any, of that. This was a situation where it just didn't work. And I'm with you. I think Beilein's a good college coach, a good coach. But he wasn't prepared for, and at 67, maybe couldn't adapt it fast enough to how you have to coach in the NBA. And I mean it in this sense. Developing players is a little different, but more than that, you don't have practice. For one thing, you're a college coach, you get 1 to 2 practices a week in addition to your games, at least. You get practices with these guys. You just don't. NBA teams practice because they travel so much and they play virtually every other day. NBA teams get a practice every other week. It's not the same. He couldn't adapt to that. The power structure is different. When you're a college coach, you are the CEO and the end-all, be-all of how that program is run. Not only do you have an owner and a GM above you, you're not as powerful as your best players. You're just not. So he never really figured out how to do that. They'd abandoned his offensive system within a few weeks of the start of the season. It just wasn't clicking. And this, I think, just didn't work out for him, which is kind of disappointing. Like I said, I think it could have worked. Maybe earlier in his career it would have worked, but this just didn't go his way.
The NBA is a different animal than college basketball. Does his not cutting it handicap any other college coaches who might want to try and get onto the NBA's carousel of coaching openings this offseason?
It might make teams a little more cautious. There was a certain amount of, hey, look how well that worked for Boston with Brad Stevens. But I mean, isn't it a case-by-case thing? Like, you could look at Brad Stevens a long time ago and go, well, I could see that working. But everybody thought Fred Hoiberg would work. And Fred Hoiberg didn't really work. Like, it just, it's, you've got to have the right personality and the right ability to adjust. And they'll keep pulling in guys who want to do it. And more than not, I mean, it's like you said, it's just, you don't get to recruit your own players, you know? You've got to kind of make do with what you've got. And it's just a different animal.
We're talking to Cardale and NBC Sports, NBA Insider, here with us on The Fan. All right, buyout market, trade deadline's come and gone. So now some teams are buying out players, saving some money, giving them the chance to join potential playoff teams. Rockets grabbed a couple. Clippers got Reggie Jackson today.
Yeah.
The Lakers, as of yet, haven't been able to land somebody. I remember not that long ago when LeBron was one of the best recruiters out there and could get guys to jump and join him for playoff runs. He's taken an offer so far. What do we read into this?
I don't know if it's so much LeBron as just the recruitment power that the Clippers have or Houston had. Look, James Harden and Russ Westbrook are good recruiters. Paul George and Trez and honestly Lou Williams, like, they've been really good recruiters and really active. Those teams have been really active, and they've been willing to step up in the Clippers case, you know, trading for Marcus Morris and then going after, you know, Reggie Jackson. Half of that's just to keep him away from the Lakers. The Lakers could use Reggie Jackson as a play, you know, secondary playmaker type of thing, far more than the Clippers, who, look, Pat Beverly starts at the point. Lou Williams comes in and does his thing. There's just not a lot of point guard minutes. They'd like to keep Beverly's down the rest of the season, but they were able to make a pitch that really worked. So I'm not sure that people are looking at from the outside at the Lakers situation right now and thinking, that's a place I really want to be.
All right, a little closer to home. Let me get a couple of New York basketball questions in for you. At some point, Leon Rose is going to be clear of his CAA responsibilities, and he's going to come in and become the president of the Knicks, hopefully before the end of the regular season. We knew it was going to be a couple weeks, maybe even a month and change. That should transpire before we get to April, when the next season is going to end, because we know it's not going to May or June. Does he need or want to put his stamp on this team before the season comes and goes, or is it all just wait till the off season?
I think it's wait till the off season. And that said, he's going to be he wants to get in and get his feet wet and get this thing rolling sooner rather than later. He's also, by the way, tied to the D Rose celebration that's coming up in Miami in the coming weeks. I'm suddenly going to go blank on that date off the top of my head, but he is tied to that. And because of that, that's one of the things holding him back that I know there's a couple other things. So he will be there close and he'll be set to go, but there's not at this point, you know, you could buy a guy out or do whatever, but there's just not much going on. You kind of are what you are, but you want to get out there and start talking to people and set up deals and whatever you're going to do and have your scouting team and everything in place for the draft and going and getting a coach and everything that they're going to do. The sooner he can get started, the better.
All right, year one of Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn. Brooklyn has had its ups and downs. Another note today that he's out indefinitely. Don't know when he's going to be back. Between injuries, at least quasi-reported disagreement with teammates on him being the leader and who's doing what and not performing and the like, how would you describe year one of Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn?
I was trying to think of the proper phrasing. Less than ideal. It was, you know, I don't think it's that. It was kind of a gap year to me for the Nets, and, you know, maybe not in the Warriors sense, but in the sense that without Kevin Durant, yeah, they'd be nice to have Kyrie and kind of make a run and get going, but they were really going to be a next year team, so it's not that huge a blow. but they've got to get him physically right. And I guess the question is this proof that he's really not the leader? Like, he's really not a guy who can be a number one on a team in that sense. And the good news for Brooklyn is, starting next year, he doesn't have to be, right? Like, it's still Kevin Durant's team. Kevin Durant should still, we'll see how much his game is impacted by the Achilles. I think if you're 7 feet tall and shoot over your head and can knock shots down, probably going to be fine. Like, you're probably still going to be doing okay. So I would say it's kind of a sign that Kyrie isn't the number one guy in the sense of, like, being able to lead a team on the court and off the court to good heights.
I would tend to agree with you there. All right, you mentioned the Warriors, and you made me think of this question. I'm reading that Steph Curry still thinks he's going to be able to come back and play this year.
Yeah,
my question to you would, of course, be why?
that's a really good question. He will be back. They're going to get him out there March 1st, and they're going to reevaluate him March 1st. I would expect to see him mid-March for some games. He just wants to play. He wants to get out there. With how flat the draft is, and frankly, the way the top of this draft looks, they wouldn't mind moving down a little. They whatever pick they get, you can bet they want to trade, because this is not a... I did a podcast with Rob Doster, our college basketball guy at NBC last week, and he described the top three picks as guys who would be 6 to 10 most years. It's not. There's good role players out there. There's rotation guys out there, but there's not necessarily. If there's stars out there, they're going to be the guy who gets drafted 12th and surprises everybody, the Donovan Mitchells of the world. And so for them, hey, let's get. They want to get everything out. They want to get Curry working again. They want to make their fans happy and then go from there. But they're. They're writing off this year and thinking about next year.
Yet when we have the NBA draft lottery, somebody will go nuts. I guarantee you that. Even though it isn't that big a deal. Oh my God, we got the first pick in it. Okay, who the hell are you going to take? Go ahead.
Hey man, somebody's going to get a better ball brother. So it's all good.
Kurt, good stuff. Appreciate you coming on. Thanks much. We'll talk to you plenty between now and the playoffs. Thanks, buddy.
I look forward to it, man. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.